how do I make this alive and interesting to you? I've only heard some of what I'm going to give you today once. And it was in St. Vincent, a national pastor was preaching, and it was the most boring thing I think I was listening to. So how do I generate a little life in the scriptures we're going to cover? And then I'm sitting there and thinking that maybe I ought to cover some other background even before I get into what I think I want to be at, all right? I want to start with Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I want to reiterate this one, maybe even more in the future on Sunday morning. Deuteronomy 18, in the last two verses, 20, 21, 22, three verses. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. I am sure, I may be wrong, but I am sure if you've been watching, listening to radio or TV or somehow get something else, you've heard today people who call themselves a prophet. Yeah. Now, if it's God's prophet, this is the test. The accuracy has got to be 100%. There's a guy, I can't pronounce his name very well, I don't think, Nostradamus or something like that. You know, have I got it right? Nostradamus? Uh-huh. And people are thinking he's such a great, quote, prophet, but there's some things he prophesied, if you will, hasn't come true. So guess what? He's not of God. Back in the days when John F. Kennedy was killed, who had written a book, and she was considered a prophetess, and everybody looked at her as being from God. But guess what? Only 50% of her prophecies came true. Guess what? She's not of God. And if they're not of God, what you should do is take them outside and to death. Well, we don't do that in today's world. But I urge you, if you hear somebody who calls himself a prophet, that little on-off switch that you have, turn it off. No sense in listening to it. No sense in wasting your time. I had different people. Have you listened to so-and-so on YouTube? No, never heard of them. And I start listening and I don't even finish. Why should I? Not of God. And that's the way it ought to be. And then there's another one, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, wait, let's stay there. Prophet speak in the name of the Lord shall not come to pass. What does that mean, don't be afraid of him? Well, if you're going to take a guy out and stone him to death, he might just say to you, if you do that, this bad stuff's going to happen to you. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't he say that? Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of saying, hey, you're wrong and you're not a God. And for them to carry out the death penalty, don't worry about it. Okay, now Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Sundry times and divers manners, many parts, many ways. Daniel saw a vision. Daniel had a dream. Moses met God. You have different ways that God gave the message to a prophet. A prophet is someone who gets a message from God, gives it out to people. A priest was to take people's sins and make an offering to approach a holy God. That's the difference between a prophet and a priest. And some had titles of both, a prophet and a priest. Okay, but the prophet was given a message from God in times past to the fathers, all right? But verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. No prophets today. Now, this is the word of God, the written word. And Jesus is the living word. So this is basically what it's referring to. Hath spoken unto us by his word. I can tell you that I've met Christians who don't ask God certain things because they go out and do certain things that God says, don't do. We shouldn't be doing that. God has told us how to live. And it's all here. We don't need a living prophet. Do you know of a church that started because they had a prophet? And I assure you, you know the name. Whether you realize it was a prophetess even, a woman who started the church. The Seventh-day Adventist, Ellen G. White, she's adamant saying, I did not call myself a prophet, but she allows everybody else to call her a prophet. Number one, she was 17 years old at the time when she started, took over the Millerite movement and became the Seventh-day Adventist. She had epileptic or some kind of fits. And here she is at age 17, and she becomes the leader. Now, that's got another problem there. But she allowed them to call her a prophet. And at that point, yes, we ought to have some difficulties with the Seventh-day Adventists. And it has almost nothing to do with they worship on Saturday and we worship on Sunday. In fact, we're going to get to it, I do believe, in the book of Daniel, where they've got it all wrong of why they started, how they started, etc. Believe it or not. Okay, with all that said now, chapter 7, the book of Daniel. And you will note, I am not taking the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation in order. I'm trying to fill in the blanks of the outline I gave you last Sunday. Loud reader, because we're going to do a lot of Bible verses this morning. Okay, Brother Jim, verses 1 through 8. Eight. Thank you. And in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the ancient days did sit. So what's happening here? If I'm just quickly reading this through on a daily Bible reading schedule, you're not going to get into too much detail. There is a difference between reading and studying. By the way, I hope you do read through your Bible, because when you get to heaven, you're going to meet Obadiah. And if you haven't read it, you're going to be embarrassed. I didn't have time to read the one chapter book. Or you meet Jude and tell him the same thing, 22 verses, I think it is. So I urge you to at least be able to say, I read it. Did you understand it? Might be a different thing. But we are told to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, perhaps, but some people think America is found in Scripture, that Russia, England, and all of that. You just read the passage. After all, it does mention the lion. What is the insignia, you might say, of England? The lion. And eagle's wings. Well, guess who that is then? That's America. Mm-hmm. And after that is the bear. So that's Russia. And if you just read through it, you may think that's correct. And I have read exactly what people say. But that's not true. One of the rules of interpretation is what? Context, context, context. So as Daniel saw the vision, didn't know what it was about, how does he interpret it correctly? How does he come up with the meaning of it? And it seems to be connected to his vision in Daniel chapter 2, till the Ancient of Days come, till the stone cut out of the mountain without hands trods down all of these different thrones. Verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my heart troubled me. Think of it this way. What if you got that dream? And this was not just a dream. This was like something special about it. Yeah, what is that telling me? I don't have a clue. But it must be important, because there's some kind of emphasis that God has put on it, all right? I was troubled. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and said, and made me know the interpretation of these things. Guess what? Daniel's going to be told exactly what that dream is about. Verse 17, these great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Four beasts, four kings. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, the head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar. There's going to be a kingdom after Nebuchadnezzar that's going to be silver, not quite as good as gold, okay? But what do we know from Daniel 2 about that kingdom other than it's kind of inferior? Answer is not much. And then after that is another kingdom of bronze. What do we know about that? Not much. We just know they're coming. This is starting to give us an idea of what those kings are like. Notice it says these four kings will come. Future tense. Now, if I said to you that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, is that a prophetic passage for today? The answer is no. It's actually a historical fact. If I told you that Jesus was going to be crucified according to Scripture, is that a prophetic passage for today? The answer is no. Now, we look at this passage. When was this written? 2,000 plus years ago. That's a lot of history. Actually, 2,600 years ago. That's a lot of history. So you have to ask yourself the question, has this already occurred? Or is there something yet into the future? Or is it even some of it's in the past? Some is going to be in the future. There's also another clue. You read it. When was this written? When was this vision seen, I should say? Date, time, almost. Come on. Not written on my forehead. Chapter 7. Verse 1. When Belshazzar was king of Babylon. Now, who's Belshazzar? He was the last king, handwriting on the wall king, okay? He is called in chapter 5, I think, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel in chapter 2 sees this vision, but when is the Medes and the Persians, is going to be the next king, going to take over? Don't know. But when this was seen, and Daniel wrote it down, had the second kingdom come, the Medes and the Persians? The answer is not yet, right? So these four beasts come sometime, Medes and Persians and so on. All right, you're going to help me count now. All right, I'm going to give you a kingdom. You're going to say one. I give you a kingdom, you say two. Ready? Medes and Persians. Come on. I got to keep you awake. Number two is, sorry, I shouldn't count ahead. Greece. Two. Rome. And Rome revived. That's four. Okay? There are four beasts. And the last beast is going to be here when the Ancient of Days, Christ, sets up his kingdom. So you're following how I'm looking at this passage. This is not Nebuchadnezzar's going to disappear and some other kingdoms coming. This tells us a little bit about the type of kingdom that will come. A little bit about the type of how they rule and how they reign and so on. By the way, if you're a Christian or if you are a Jew especially, it didn't sound too good because these kings are definitely against you and against your God. So that's in there. But here we have these four kingdoms and they're going to come after Babylon. Now, Medes and the Persians. I don't know much history. I got a history major back here that brought up an interesting point. The chest is silver. The arms are silver. Did you ever notice Medes and Persians? There are two of them that ruled the world after Babylon. Two arms. All right? Then you have Greece, and then you have Rome. All right? Let's see. The last one that you read, not the last beast, I should say, verse 7. And this is just going to be a little bit of a clue of how we still interpret Scripture. How many horns did the last beast have? Ten. Now, the last time I counted, when I took my shoes off and had my socks off, I had 10 toes. And this last beast is going to be here when the Medes and the when the Ancient of Days comes. So we're looking at that last beast as the very end of time, if you will. All right? Now, Revelation chapter 13. Keep your hand there because we're going to come right back to Daniel. Somebody read for me verses 1 through 8. A loud reader.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority.
All the way down to 8.
And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Now we're finding out some more detail of that thousand-year reign, the time just before that, who's ruling and reigning, things like that. Notice some of the similarities. 10 toes, 10 crowns, 10 kingdoms. And out of that, there's going to be one man who the whole world is going to worship. Satan is an imitator. He is not a creator. So he is going to imitate Christ. Receives a deadly wound by the sword. And he lives through it. And all the world is going to be amazed. And with that, they will start worshiping him. He'll make war with the saints and overcome them. So we begin to fill in some detail. By the way, I don't know how much, again, theology, prophetic views you've read or know. Have you ever heard that C.I. Scofield started what we believe as premillennialists? And another guy named Darby. They say before that, nobody believed what we believe, hopefully, all of us believe. Have you heard that before? No. Well, keep reading. You'll encounter it. People who do not like our particular view, being a pre-mill, pre-trib, will say this is a brand new idea with C.I. Scofield. I used to have a CD that, well, it won't load on Windows 10 now. It did back, years ago. But I could look up, because of what was on it, all of the writings of some of the early Christians, Justin Martyr, who was, I think, John's disciple, St. Augustine, and others. And because I could search it, I looked up 1,000 years. And you know what? Right after Christ left and the church was just starting up, everybody believed Christ was going to come back and rule and reign 1,000 years. So it's not a new idea with C.I. Scofield. It's not a new idea with Darby. And here we have the Antichrist, who's going to be in power before Christ comes. He's going to be that last beast, the 10 toes of the image that Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar saw. What I'm getting at is that you kind of can have an overview picture. I had that when I went to Bible school. I was in a good church, and I kind of knew the outline. But when I went to Bible school, they started filling in the details and giving me scripture passages to go with it. Considering my age group of my students here, I'm trying to fill in details that maybe you've not heard before and say, not only is the overview correct, here's some more views and scriptures and stuff that'll help you fill in some more details so we can understand better. All right? Back to Daniel chapter 7 now. That's all I want to say? No. Yeah, for now. We'll come back to Revelation 13. Verse 22. All of these beasts are going to come one after another. And until the Ancient of Days came, judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. So all of these four beasts that came in the vision will be there, but they will be replaced by the Ancient of Days. In verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast, and again, he's telling Daniel what all of this is about. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first and shall subdue three kings. Same as what you just read in Revelation chapter 13. We're not there yet. I remember when, what was it, the European Common Market? There were what, 10 at the time, or were seven and some added? People were saying, that's it. I don't know if that's it. Now there's more than 10. But evidently there's going to be a power grab, if you will, and eventually one man, the Antichrist, is going to stand up above all of those, all right? And he's going to subdue three kingdoms, and the others are just going to follow along. And this idea of a king subduing three kings out of 10 kings keeps repeating itself, and he becomes the king, both in Daniel and in Revelation. Now, I'm not going to try to do every verse in the book of Daniel or Revelation. I'm trying to kind of show you how it all fits together. And like I said, what you're seeing in Daniel 2 is an overview of one kingdom after another. Here you're beginning to see what those kingdoms are like and how they get into power and what they do while they're in power. And we're going to see even more of that later on. Now, chapter 8 of the book of Daniel. And let's see, I need somebody to read. Verses 1 through 4. A reader. A reader. A reader.
Thank you.
Okay, he sees a ram with two horns. Now, I've mentioned it before. I'm going to say it again. I prefer having a Bible, and I prefer having an ink pen that doesn't bleed through the Bible, but it's permanent ink, so that when you write in the Bible or underline, it stays that way. If you ever used just regular ink, sometimes you'll begin to realize after many years it blurs out, goes through the page or whatever. But I urge you to have a Bible. I've got one that I've had for 40 some odd years now, and it's got notes in it from all over. Because sometimes when you're reading something, you kind of forget. Who's the ram? What's one of the rules of interpreting Scripture? Context, context, context. So next to verse 4, I wrote verse 20. Because again, Daniel is going to be told the interpretation of the dream. Verse 20, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of what? Media and Persia. Now, that's an interesting statement. What year was this vision? Oh, here we go again. When did Daniel see this and start writing this? When? The first year of Belshazzar. The other one was the third year of Belshazzar. Could you tell me how long America's going to be around? Nah. I doubt if any of us in this room could say the name of the next president of the United States, no matter what. And 8 years from now, I guarantee you nobody knows the name of the president of the United States. Without inspiration, Daniel could not have known that's the Medes and the Persians. They're the next world empire. In the vision where he saw the statue, image, head of gold, chest of silver, but he's not told who that next kingdom is. Here he's getting very specific. God's getting very specific. What you see is the Medes and the Persians with two horns, two kings. They're going to be the next kingdom as Daniel saw it in chapter 2. All right? Now, I need somebody to read. Let's see, verses 5 through 7. That's four. So here comes a goat. Which is weaker, the goat or the ram in real life? You think the goat, but guess what? The goat's going to tear down the ram. Okay, again, in my Bible, on the sideline, context, 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 I wrote verse 21. Verse 21 says, the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. All right, here we go. Written in the time of who? Belshazzar. Who's coming next? The Medes and the Persians. Who's coming next? Okay, now wait a minute. The time span between the Medes and the Persians and Greece is how long? Hey, you're good. I had to look it up. I could cheat. 200 years. Could you predict the world power in 200 years from now? Nah. Without God's inspiration of Scripture, we wouldn't know. Without God inspiring Daniel, how could he write the ram is Medes and the Persians and the goat is Greece? Now that makes the Bible a unique book. I don't know who you talk with and who you have discussions with. Let me tell you something. The Bible is a unique book because there is no other book like this. The book of the Quran has, I think, zero prophecy in it, or almost zero. This is plus 200 years in advance saying the first king of Greece is going to destroy the Medes and the Persians. Remember the guy's name that led the Grecian army? Good history buffs, yes. Alexander the Great conquered the world. By age 30, was distraught that there was no other kingdoms to conquer and died in a drunken stupor. But Daniel's writing about him over 200 years in advance. Notice it says something else. Let's see. Verse 8, therefore the he-goat waxed very great. When he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. In your Bible, you might want to put verse 22. Context, context, context. Now that being broken, wherein four stood upon it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. When Alexander the Great died, who replaced him? Four generals split his kingdom up. And you can ask the history buffs for their names if you will. I have them, but I can't pronounce them. But it is a historical fact for us, but well over 200 years prophecy in advance for Daniel when he wrote the book. And that's why people say Daniel could not have written this. It had to be a second Daniel. I mentioned that before. No, there's only one Daniel. But some people want to say there's got to be two because he couldn't have known these things. It had to be a different Daniel later on that wrote the last half. So, no, it's God giving Daniel inspiration. Not only are the Medes and the Persians coming after them, Greece is coming with one king, that's Alexander, and after that will be four more kings for Greece to be controlling the world before the Romans took over. And I hope you begin to see the complexity, if you will, of the book of Daniel to give us the prophecy, to tell us this is the set of kingdoms, and now more details of each of those different kingdoms. So we're not done. I hope you've been interested enough to stay awake. But that's where we are. The great horn is Alexander the Great. Okay. One Daniel wrote the entire book under the inspiration of God. And it tells us some things still in our future. And he was a true prophet of God. Okay, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for loving us. And in advance, before the world was ever created, you knew that man was going to sin and that your son was going to come and die for our sins. And I pray that you would bless us, give us understanding of your word, and we pray that we can give it out to other people to tell them they need a Savior too. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.